So, let's talk about Dearly. I'm starting a new series this week. It's called Unafraid, based on a book by Adam Hamilton. And as we dig in over the next couple weeks, we're going to look straight at the hardware of industries and anxieties. So that as people of faith, we can figure out how we can live with courage and hope, and not live by the fear. For Adam Hamilton, he began to build a congregation. The book started as a series. He was preaching in his own community, and he was suspicious that people were living in fear, they were lives of fear, and they were responding from a place of fear. So he wanted to do a survey to kind of dig in and understand if this was true. And so he went out and he surveyed 2,400 people. He found a couple of facts. He said he found that nearly half of people that he surveyed reported living with a moderate level of fear. 35% reported living with a significant amount of fear. 85% reported living with moderate to significant levels of fear. And those under the age of 50 experienced more fear than those over the age of 50. And the greatest fear of those who were over 50 was the direction of the country. So in this series, we're going to look straight into the heart of fear. What is fear? The science and spirituality of fear. Societal fears like crime and race and terrorism. Personal fears like failure, disappointment, meaninglessness, being alone. Fear of change and missing out. And finally, fears of aging, fears of illness, and fears of dying. All of these fears, whether they are real or, you know, we've imagined them, we perceive them, they shape the way we think, the way we feel, and communicate. And they have power over us. And as people of faith, we have gifts to recognize these fears. We can be honest when they are consistent companions, and at the same time, they don't have to control us. We can hold fear in our hands while balancing that and managing our fears. And as people of faith, we have to remember that we're the people of courage and hope. We can learn to address our fears, to control them, learn from them, and even use them. And we can press them. And even in our daily circumstances, whether it's going to work, mall, fear is a way of creeping in. And Kathy and Kelly have a little skit for us right now to show us.
Taking a break, huh?
Well, none yet.
No laps?
None yet.
Just checking out the competition?
No. I've seen that I've lost my motivation. I guess, look, I really don't want to burden you with my problem.
Ah, you're not bothering me at all. Here, let me give you my card.
Granny got this, you know, mall missionary.
Yeah, I'm Christian, right? And the mall is my mission field. And you're sitting on my bench, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was your bench.
No, you sit. You're supposed to be here.
I am?
Yeah, this is a bench I own, because of what I do in my body. I ask God every day to take whoever he wants me to talk to make them sit right here.
That's nice.
Yep, and today it's you. So what's your name?
Kelly.
Oh. Kelly, so what can I help you with?
Help me? But I'm already a Christian.
So, Christians have problems?
They do.
Do you have problems? Yeah, they do.
Like what?
Well, right now, somebody's sitting on my side of the bench. So let's work on yours.
My problem, well, it's nothing really. I get discouraged so easy.
Discouraged.
Like, take this morning, for instance. I woke up ready to exercise to a fresh start and something new, like exercising, you know? Everything was going great, and I was determined to be productive. But then, on my way here, I got stuck behind this guy on a motorcycle. He was putt-putting along 30 miles an hour in the fast lane. And he wouldn't get out of my way.
So that put you in a bad mood?
I'll say. I'm probably about to run right out the window, along with the fist that I was seriously shooting at that guy.
Uh-oh.
I tried honking at him, but that didn't work because he couldn't hear me with his helmet. And then I tried waving at him.
Yep, that got his attention.
I think so. He waved back.
Uh-huh.
I tried, but he turned his left blinker on and, like, he was going to turn, so I didn't.
Ah, you didn't?
Nope, not even did he turn, that is. He just kept that blinker on for the next 7 miles. He continued driving completely oblivious.
Boy, I don't blame you for being discouraged. Something like that would have set me off my rocker too, I'll tell you right now.
The worst part is, well, you should have heard the things that were coming out of my mouth following behind him.
Kelly, I'm so glad I didn't hear that.
No, I was so angry, I hardly felt like I pushed it off.
All right, so what's that got to do with exercise?
I just feel like I've been bogged down with my behavior, so I lost my motivation to do anything.
Oh, boo-hoo. What a bunch of rubbish.
I beg your pardon.
Well, God save me from whining Christians. You can't give up just because you lost your temper. Being a Christian is supposed to be difficult.
It is.
Yeah. Well, if not, there'd be more scriptures about skipping and sailing through the Christian life, and less scriptures about striving and struggling through it.
Why am I feeling such a failure?
Who knows? Maybe you'll like it. Listen, would it help if I told you that I lost my temper this morning, too?
Really? You did?
Yeah. And kind of over the same thing as you almost.
Wow, what happened?
Well, some guy tailgated me the whole way here. I slowed down for him to pass, but I preferred to stay behind and harass me the whole time.
I don't even know how some people got their licenses.
The point is that even though I was upset, I just shrugged it off when I got to the business of the day, and if you're smart, you'll do the same thing.
It's too late to start walking now. The mall is about open.
All right, well, then why don't you come to breakfast with me where we can plan out your exercise schedule for tomorrow and get you back on track?
Well, that would be wonderful.
Cool. Do you know where Billy Bob's breakfast buffet is?
Not really.
Don't worry about it, then. Just follow me.
I got it.
Okay, so now look, you don't have to follow me too closely.
No tailgating allowed.
No.
I'll be girlfriend.
All right, okay, don't be sweet. I won't be hard to find. I'll be the one in my helmet. And you know,
you drive a motorcycle.
I do. In fact, it's a beauty.
A bright red motorcycle with orange flames painted on it.
That's my girlfriend. And by the way, I'm going to have to stop on my way because we got a blinker that just won't shut off. So I'll be sure to do it.
God works in mysterious ways.
morning prayer. Let's begin by acknowledging that our body's capacity to experience fear and our ability to respond to perceived threats when working properly are absolutely amazing. This marvel of nature, which I received as a gift from God, is often referred to as the fight or flight response. You've no doubt experienced it on many occasions. Does anybody have any fight or flight situations that they've had in their life that they could share with us here today that might help enhance the conversation?
So, down at the Philadelphia Zoo, I was taking a group from the group home that I was working at, and the older gentleman had some french fries, and there were some very large geese who wanted my gentleman's french fries. And so at that point, we had the choice whether we were going to stand our ground and fight and try and scare off the geese, or if we were going to flee. At that point, it was kind of a situation where the gentleman I was with was older and not necessarily able to flee from the geese. And so I very vehemently pointed, puffed up my chest and squawked back, and we just left us alone.
That's almost truly tried flight. Anybody else?
Just like that, I heard it again. I got super scared at that point. Turned around, there's a flying squirrel. I'm so mad. That flying squirrel is somewhere else now. Like all three, like three, and then I had a fight, and I had to go figure out that that did well. Thank goodness. Yeah, it's scary. It's crazy.
That. Anybody else?
So, a couple weekends ago, Marisol, Zoe, Nova, and I went to breakfast, and then we went our separate ways because I was speaking to each other to a therapy appointment, and we all ended up at the Wawa to get gas, and I had to get cash out. And so, here we are, Marisol's in the car with Nova, they're getting ready to leave. Zoe and I are getting ready to get in the car, and there was a Jeep parked out front with a gentleman driving, and he had two large dogs in the Jeep. And another man exited the Wawa, and the dogs barked, and it was a Rottweiler and a Husky. And the man was startled, and he reacted verbally. And he did so in Spanish. And then the man driving the Jeep got out because he got upset, and there was a speak English interaction, followed by a man driving the Jeep, lifting his shirt, and there's a gun. in his side. And so, again, Zoe in the car, Marisol comes driving past, I tell her the man has a gun, go, so she leaves with the baby. In the meantime, four girls in high school pull up in softball uniforms, and they're getting ready to walk into the Wawa, so I feel like I have no choice but to stay. So I make sure they get in there, back to their car, and kind of just monitor the situation. I get Zoe in the car, I have her lay down so that she's safe, and I just watch, and I start dialing 911. And the altercation thankfully ended. The man got back and just even left, but I really had no idea what to do. It was so awkward, and I was kind of thinking she had a therapy appointment afterwards, because we talked about, like, being responsible, and I kind of needed a little therapy myself after that. It was definitely, like, I felt like my only option was to protect Zoe, get Marisol and baby out, and, like, keep those four high school girls safe, because nobody else knew what to do, kind of everything froze, so it was definitely, like, a flight or freeze, and then I kind of did a little bit of everything, and then we just left quickly afterwards.
Sounds like you handled it as amazingly as you could. That's impressive.
I don't have to do that again, but
yeah.
It's kind of scary. It was just a weird time, so somewhere where I don't think we're going to encounter some kind of altercation.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess. In Philly, you can see that or something, but not in other countries. Anybody else have stories? Okay. Our five senses. Sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch, alongside other less familiar senses we possess, send signals to the brain and make the loud. Two almond-shaped structures, one nestled deep on each side of the brain. These structures have been described as the center for emotions, emotional behavior, and motivation within the brain. Before your conscious mind has fully made sense of what you have heard, felt, seen, smelled, or tasted, your amygdala has already made an initial determination as to whether what you sense is a threat. And if it is perceived as a threat, the amygdala activates your body's early warning system, releasing chemicals like epinephrine, adrenaline, and cortisol, the hormone commonly associated with stress. These signals, along with other hormones released as a result of activity in your amygdala, create a cascade of physiological effects meant to save your life if you're in danger. Your heart begins to race, your breathing becomes more rapid and more shallow, your mouth gets dry, your muscles tense up, all aimed at helping you fight or flee. You will likely shake and perspire, your pupils will dilate, and you may even wet yourself. This is all part of the reaction to the hormones flowing through your system to prepare your body for action. In the moment, you may lose peripheral vision and some hearing. These hormones also produce feelings of anxiety, dread, or aggression. If you struggle with panic attacks and anxiety, you will recognize a number of these symptoms. Our responses to a perceived danger happen almost instantaneously before the rational mind can process the experience. It explains why you can jump out of the way of an oncoming car before you've even fully comprehended the danger with your conscious mind. Your mind and body are intimately connected, so that when your senses perceive information from your environment, your brain moves into action to create a physical response, followed by an emotional response, which then leads to a sitting on a mall bench, processing the road rage you just experienced. Reference the skit. From Hamilton Adams, Unafraid, pages 10 and 11, Crown Publishing Group. fears keep us safe. And it is pretty amazing when you think about it. It truly is a gift from God. Unfortunately, this gift can also lead us to worry about things that are never going to happen or things that are outside of our control. Here's an example from the Bible we can read together. From Numbers 13:31-33. But the others said, "We can attack those people. They're way stronger than we are." They spread scary rumors among the people of Israel. They said, "We scouted out the land from one end to the other. It's a land that swallows people whole. Everybody we saw was too huge. Why we even saw the Nephilim giants? Now giants come from the dawn. Alongside them, we felt like grasshoppers, and they looked down on us as if we were grasshoppers."
Back to the story of the Hebrew people who fled. In Egypt, and were heading toward the promised land. Once the people were free, God has shared with Moses and the people a vision of a promised land that was flowing with milk and honey. It took them 2 years walking more to deserts and many trials, and they finally arrived at the border. They were ready to settle into the promised land. The problem was, there were people already living there, and it wasn't theirs for the taking. So they sent spies into the land, 12 spies for 40 days to figure out basically what they were going to do. Two of the spies came back and said, "Hey, it's all there, like God said. Now all we need to do is go and take it." But there were others who said, "No way. The walls are too strong. The people are like giants. We would rather return to slavery in Egypt than face these giants." Have you ever been terrified of giants? Maybe it was a time in your life, a struggle, an illness, a challenge in your life that felt too impossible to face. How did it feel when you had to face your giants?
Surrender.
Any giants they need to face? It could be struggle, like it says, illness, a challenge, fear, temper. Any stories to share? I want to tell you. In December 20th, we adopted Zoe and Laura. The following day, I went to fix in the playroom unit shelf. Some of you know this story. And it's metal. So I gave myself several places. The following day, I went up with black and blue bruises all over my arms, my legs, my chest. And they were like the size of a baseball. Some of them were a little bit bigger. So I'm looking at my body and I'm like, first thing that comes to mind, fear, immediately goes into my head. What is this? What is going on? Why am I feeling this way? And all of a sudden, my head is saying, like, oh, you're dying. And all of a sudden, I'm tired, I'm weak, because my mind is already letting fear take over myself. And Barb is also scared. So I called her a few days later that I'm home, and I do a blood test. We take Noah to daycare, because Zoe doesn't have school, so she's with us, we go to Target. I went in the morning, like at 9 o'clock, to have the blood test. By 11 a.m., we are at Target and the doctor called. But it's not the nurse calling, it's the doctor. And he said, Marisol, please. There's supposed to be 150,000 to 350,000. You are 24,000. So the number is significantly low. So Barbara and I are looking at each other. I'm like, what is this? I call you on, say, put me in prayer because I don't know what's going on. And the worst thing I can do is go to Google because then I have cancer, right? Mm-hmm. So that's fear taking over me. And I remember we were wrapping the gift for the girls. And Bar said to me, how you feel? And I let it out. And I told her, this is how I feel. I don't want to die. We just adopted the girls. I would want to be with you until we're like really old that we can stand each other. And she said the same to me. And all of a sudden, I said, God is going to help. And I know there was people in this congregation, in this gathering, people in this church that was praying for me already. And I had strength by praying and by asking God, give me the strength that I need to go through this. Coming to church, people already know they were telling me, we're praying for you. And that gave me strength to challenge my fears and say, like, oh, I'm not going to let you take over. Thankfully, it was just an instance. My plate is slowed down. It could happen again. It's nothing that I cannot live with, and it's not cancer. So, how did I challenge my giant at that time? By praying. By praying to God to give me the peace that I needed to go through all this. Take a moment to think about all the people, resources, food, art, friends, prayers, whatever it might have been for you that help you to face your giants. What are some of the people or resources that help you to get through the time of facing your giants? The Bible.
Meditation.
Breathing exercises. So people go like that. Sometimes with fear, not all the time, but sometimes our fear is rooted in an obstacle, challenge, or threat that seems larger than it appears. Let's watch this video together that talks about the difference between fear and awe.
You know, fear and awe, I instantly get natural occurrences. I mean, I get lightning storms where I live. They just got a tree, I mean, 3 feet from the porch. I stay in fear, but that was always a dead move to awe. So, you know, I get a lot of natural stuff, but then I wasn't killed in a tsunami. So that's a place where fear would have died in fear instead of moving to awe. But sometimes, I get so exhausted by fear, I've got no choice but to move into another place, which is my life seems to have gone out of my hands. And the only choice is to become unconscious, perhaps, or choose awe, to be in awe. Whether it's in awe at how much pain I can have without dying, or how much sadness I can bear without crashing to the floor of depression, or there's a lot of emotional stuff here, but the difference between fear and awe, usually, what still saw what doesn't kill you makes you better. Is that it? What doesn't kill you makes you stronger? I hate aphorisms, church sign things, but there you have it. There's some truth to that. Just read an article on character. What builds character is overcoming failure, which is a form, I think, of fear and pain. But that's apparently what builds character, which means Paul wasn't far off. So you get given stuff you never choose, and depending on how you live into it, you may come out more, you may come out less. It's a gamble.
Because you have fear at all at the same time.
Oh, I do all the time.
Oh, good.
I'm an incredibly fearful person, but I was raised by an incredibly fearful mother who's still at it. And, because she watches the news too much, so there are robbers breaking into every house all the time, and there are people being snatched out of their beds every night by aliens. And she finally helped me push into a distinction between what is possible every day, all the time, and what is probable. Not so much. You know, probable, I can deal with. Possible is terrifying all the time. So I also am rationing the frightening things. I can't watch a lot of movies anymore. I'm sort of, my emotional, imaginative library has just about all the terrifying things in it that I can take.
So thinking about Barbara said, we hold this tension, it's possible and probable. And this is when we have the power to invite the Holy Spirit to join us. Adam Hamilton writes, when we imagine God's presence and power, we find we can begin to live with courage and hope. That's faith. Faith in a sense is trusting God, trusting ourselves, so we can face our biggest fears. We can find our way through, and we can trust that we will come out on the other side. This work isn't easy. It's hard work. We are often changed by facing our biggest obstacles. Jesus invites us to faith in action when it comes from fear. He says over and over again, do not be afraid. Have courage to face your fear, and with God, you can find peace in the midst of fear. Amen. We're going to take some time to share joys and concerns this morning. Mary Gianelli had two things to share. Her close friend, Sylvia Diaz, just found out that her pancreatic cancer returned, and it's in her lungs, liver, and lymph nodes. So we lift Sylvia up in prayer this morning. Mary also just lost two co-workers this weekend. Bobby Smith, a custodian, and Beth Parker, a 7th grade science teacher. They both also had cancer, and they suffered long. So please keep their families and the middle school family in your prayers this morning throughout the week. Are there other joys or concerns that you'd like to share with the gathering?
If you could continue to keep my friend from work, who's got ALS, in your prayers, he